The following recording was produced by the Queechy Church in Queechy, Vermont. For more information on the church, its activities, and resources, please visit us online at www.queechychurch.org. Our sermon passage this evening is from 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. May God bless the reading of his word. As we reflect on the Christmas celebration, we cannot help but notice that it is a study in contrast. One reason why we celebrate Christmas when we do. Part of it is historically, it seems that this is near the time that Jesus was born. It's very appropriate then that we would celebrate it now. But throughout human history, for thousands of years, people have watched the night sky and watched as the darkness grew and grew throughout the year until it reached about this time of year. And then they saw that the pattern began to reverse. Where there was darkness, now there was light, and the light would begin to grow, and the days would grow longer. That is one contrast that we can't help but notice. We don't look at the night sky perhaps as often or in the same way as ancient people did, and yet we can't avoid the fact that our days get shorter and our nights get longer until something happens and the pattern is flipped. There are other things that are paired together when we reflect on Christmas that seem to be opposites. From our perspective, their intention, not just the Christian observance and the commercial observance of Christmas, but in the Christmas story, we have life and death. We have wealth and poverty. And ultimately, we have the coming together of God and man. I don't want to belabor this point too much because this is a celebration. But the scriptures make it clear that we are impoverished as human beings. Perhaps the most obvious observation that you could make about us is that we live in poverty. We come into the world with nothing. And when we leave this world, we leave with nothing. Whatever riches, whatever wealth we may acquire or enjoy in the meantime is so temporary as to be irrelevant. This too has been marked for thousands of years. In fact, when Christians came to share the good news of Jesus Christ and God's love for all mankind to the ancient and barbaric Anglo-Saxon and Jute invaders, what we call now the Isle of Britain, they came to bring this good news, and here was the response. It seems to me, said one of their kings, that the life of man on earth is like the swift flight of a single sparrow through the banqueting hall when you're sitting at dinner on a winter's day in the midst of a comforting fire that warms the hall. Outside, the storms of winter rain and snow are raging. The sparrow flies swiftly through one window of the hall and out through another. While he is inside, the bird is safe from the winter storms, but after a few moments of comfort, he vanishes from sight into the wintry world from which he came. So man appears on earth for a little while. But of what went before this life or what follows, we know nothing. And then I paraphrase, if you can tell us anything true about those things, we will gladly receive it. And that is what we do when we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate good news that though we are impoverished, well, perhaps I should ask a question. And children, this may be dangerous, or those of you who are young at heart, you can answer the question, why do we need Christmas? What is it that you are hoping for on Christmas? One word. I'll answer the question. Presents! We want presents! That is what we are eagerly anticipating. Because there are things that we want and things that we need that we do not have. The scriptures put it this way. As God speaks to his people, he says, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. As I said, I don't want to dwell on this aspect, but as hunger sharpens our appetite for food, so sorrow often sharpens our appetite for joy. What do we need at Christmas? We need a gift. We need presents, you could say. But the other question to ask is, what does Christmas give us? And indeed, it does give us a gift. If you'll bear with me, it gives us presents. Not presents, but presents. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. At Christmas, we celebrate the coming into the world of the Almighty and Eternal God, who is so wealthy that the word does not apply to him. He is the source of all that is good, of all that is joyful. We celebrate his entry into the world in humility and poverty. Jesus was a poor kid in a poor nation, suffering under injustice and oppression. That's where God chose to meet us. We celebrate that Christ, the Son of God, humbled himself by becoming like us, by becoming our brother, literally, not metaphorically, literally becoming our brother, becoming, it would seem, less than he was. And he did this to the fullest, not halfway. He didn't become the son of a king on earth. If he did, we might wonder if he was trying to hide his humanity and hide us from himself, unable to even bear the smell of creatures like us. But no, he came humble and poor. And what does he give us? He gives us himself. In fact, in Christ, we see that God has given to us his very heart, his very desire, and his very joy. If you get a person's heart, you get everything they have with them. It's a basic principle of marketing. If you can engage, if you can capture someone's heart, you can have all of their money. You can have everything. But it could be beautiful if you get Scrooge's heart. And he delights in the people around him, then they get everything he has, generosity and joy. This is what God has done for us. Psalm 16 says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Indeed, throughout all of human history, God has been saying to us, if you would come to me, then you would have my heart. And with it, everything. Not just comfort in this life, which is always in short supply, but a life that cannot be eclipsed by the darkness, a life that would go on forever because it would remain in my presence. And because we did not come to him, he came to us to give us a gift, to give us his own heart, the gift of his presence, with which we have everything else. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, indeed we rejoice in your kindness, in your generosity, in your mercy that sees us in our brokenness and in our need. And you didn't hold your nose. You didn't turn your gaze away, but you drew close. You gave us your very heart. We rejoice that you are a God who is humble, although you are almighty. And we pray, Father, that we might both see and experience your grace as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.